What's up, podcast friends? I'm happy to announce that we've teamed up with some fantastic affiliate partners to further enhance your overall college journey. They are Dormco, Prep Expert, and Prep Sportswear. So do you or someone you know need stylish dorm decor, trendy college apparel, or top-notch test prep? Whether it's creating a cozy home away from home, flaunting the latest in college apparel, or securing top-notch test prep help, we've got you covered. Check out our affiliate links in the show notes within each of these categories, which we believe will help you, our listeners. Please note that if you make a purchase through any of our affiliate links, the podcast does get a small commission. But rest assured, we would only promote products that we believe in and feel would benefit our listeners. So check out the links in the show notes and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Thank you and best wishes to all. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Audrey Burns, who's the Associate Dean of Admission and Director of Recruitment at Bates College in beautiful Maine. Audrey, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to hearing about all the great things that Bates has to offer. But first, let me start by asking you, Audrey, give us a brief introduction about yourself. How long have you been in admissions, and how did you end up in such a position?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've just finished off my sixth year in admission. I'm working at Bates. I also graduated from Bates. So it's definitely a topic that's very easy for me to talk about. but I graduated from Bates College in 2017. I then had my first admission job as an admission counselor at the University of Vermont. So I spent a couple of years there before then returning back to Bates to work in the admission office as an assistant dean of admission and then kind of moving my way up from there. So I was a tour guide when I was a student at Bates. I worked there over the summers. It seemed like a fun job to have. I knew I'd be in education. I knew there was a lot of different places to go with the work. And then I really fell in love with it. And so I'm still here today.
Well, Bates is obviously very fortunate to have you, as are we, on the podcast. So you're a former student. Like you said, you graduated in 2017. So Audrey, what can you tell us about Bates College that makes it so appealing for so many students to want to apply and ultimately attend?
Yeah, great question. So Bates College is a small liberal arts college located in Maine. We have small class sizes, expert professors. I think these basics of a liberal arts education is definitely something that puts Bates College on the radar for many people who are looking for a residential community, looking to be able to have freedom of study. But I think Bates in particular, if you were to ask the tour guides or the fellows or the students who work in our office, what made them choose Bates, they would definitely say community. That would be kind of the first word and only word they would say. And I think that that is really attributed to a community that's very active, very focused on collaboration over competition, really focused on ideals of inclusion and egalitarianism. I think for many, what is one of the first things of interest about Bates is our founding. So we have kind of a unique founding. We were founded in 1855 as the first coeducational college in New England. From that founding, we've always admitted everybody, regardless of background, regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic standing. So this kind of history of equity is something that I think is really interesting to students who want to study at Bates. Definitely, I think more than anything else is kind of a call to action as we continue to want to be, quote, a college for the coming times. That's one of the lines in our mission statement. And then outside of that, Maine, right? You said beautiful Maine. There's a lot to do in Maine and a lot of opportunities to engage in our backyard in Lewiston, Maine, specifically.
Well, that's awesome. You mentioned community. You mentioned equity. And by the way, you're ranked as one of the best liberal arts colleges in the country. And I also want to add that your retention rate is in the 90% range, which is truly a testament to the great work that you do to get the right students on your campus, but also the great work that the community at Bates, as you mentioned, does to foster that sense of family and wanting to keep students coming back year after year. So that's awesome. And so what can you tell us about the student life experience at Bates? What are the kinds of things that students do outside of the classroom, not only during the week, but on the weekends?
Absolutely. I can tell you that it's busy. I can tell you that students aren't just involved in one thing at Bates. You are not just an academic or just an athlete or just an artist. Students are consistently exploring new activities and involvements and are always going to be encouraged to try new things. So to back up, Bates is a residential school. So about 98% of students are living on campus for all 4 years. So it's very active. People will stay on campus after classes in the evenings, on the weekends. You might go for a day trip to enjoy Portland or the surrounding areas of Maine. But it certainly continues to be really active during all those times. I describe Bates as a place where students show up. It's cool to show up to the campus-wide events and traditions. It is cool to show up to the lectures in the evenings. It's cool to attend the sold-out a cappella concert as well. So it's really going to be a variety of different things, and it will be so based off of what you as an individual are hoping to get out of your Bates experience.
Oh, that's amazing. And I also heard that it's a residential school, meaning that 98% of your students live on campus for 4 years. And I love how you put it. Students show up, whether it's for a lecture, athletic event, cultural event. It really is a beautiful community that the students really enjoy during their time there. So let's dig into the application process itself. What is Bates' approach to the admissions process, particularly in terms of the criteria and factors considered when reviewing those applications?
Yeah, absolutely. The good stuff. So we practice in admission, we practice committee-based evaluation, or CBE. This is a kind of technique of reviewing applications that involves two people who will review every application. This was first pioneered at the University of Pennsylvania almost a decade ago at this point, and it's something that Bates has been practicing for a while. We think that having two people in these initial reviews of applications and always having a conversation about every single application that comes to Bates, we think that this really helps us do our best work in terms of holistic review processes and really understanding the context and the background of where a student is coming from. So one of the two people who are in that CBE pair is going to be the person who is representing your particular school in the application process. So essentially, this is a person who's an expert in the area you're applying from. They know the area, they know the culture, and they take the time to understand your particular high school or your particular school that you're applying from. So that person is always in the conversation when it comes to your application. We are looking at a whole range of things. There are a lot of opportunities in our process for students to put their best foot forward and make choices for themselves, one of those being we are a test optional school. We are looking for students that have really taken advantage of the opportunities for academic rigor and exploration outside of the classroom that are available to them within the context of their own school. We are looking for students from across the country, from across the world. One of our quotes in our mission statement is that we believe in the transformative power of our differences. So that means we value diversity, and we're looking to create a student body that comes from all backgrounds, from all parts of the world as well. So those are aspects that are coming into applications as well.
Well, I appreciate you talking about the CBE, the committee-based evaluation, where you're talking about two people looking at each application so that you could truly give it a holistic review. And I appreciate how you talked about the importance of diversity on your campus, which leads me to my next question, which is, can you share, Audrey, the percentage of students that apply from out of state? And does the application process differ based on in-state or out-of-state status?
So the short answer is no. The admission process does not differ whatsoever, whether you're applying from in-state or out-of-state. So Bates is a private institution, which means those processes are identical. And in fact, the vast majority of applications are coming from outside of the state of Maine, over 90%.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. On campus, we strive to have almost every state represented in as many countries as well. And while we do still have a strong population of Mainers who stay on campus for a number of reasons, one of which is that Maine is a very small state, we have applicants and students coming from across the country.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm glad that you shared that over 90% of your students are from out of state, which goes back to what you said earlier, that 98% of your students live on your campus for 4 years. And so I could imagine that even on weekends, there's really a lot of people there supporting each other and having a great time. So that's awesome. Continuing with the overall application, the number of applications, Audrey, schools are receiving are obviously on the rise for things like you mentioned, test optional, and of course, things like the Common App that make it so easy for students to apply to multiple schools. So with an increase in applications, how do you determine how many students to accept, waitlist, or even deny when you don't necessarily know how many of these applicants that you accept are actually going to attend?
It's such a good question. And I think that that's what makes the work really interesting and really difficult. In this area of admissions, we have to rely both on numbers and statistics and historical patterns, as well as human intuition and understanding patterns of human behavior and the changes that can occur over from year to year in the admission college process. So one of the big things here is that we do look at historical patterns, and we do work with data to see if we can really understand what is a number of admitted students that will then end up with that perfect 500 students on our campus. And sometimes we do the perfect job, and sometimes we could do a little bit of a better job, but that is the ultimate challenge, right? And so that is why we also utilize things like waitlist as another way to offer admission if there is the opportunity as it arises, because it truly is a little bit different every year. But the big answer is using data as well as using common sense and human experience to really understand. And a bit of this as well is about who exactly we are admitting to the class and taking into account throughout our process what students may very well then yield or choose to attend Bates College.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're mentioning yield, right, which shifts from year to year. And I'm sure that throughout the pandemic, it definitely shifted a lot more than usual. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It changed a lot.
But also the insight that you gave, you're looking at numbers, you're looking at historical patterns, your intuition, and of course, data to try to come up with that perfect class. So we appreciate that insight. And speaking of the class, Audrey, what is the average profile of the current freshman class? And if a student falls lower than your mid 50%, what are some of the things that they can do to enhance their overall application?
Yeah, when it comes to the student profile, I can share a little bit of guiding information, but again, certainly it's going to be very different on an individual level. Our class profile, our most recent class profile, shows that students who did choose to submit testing submitted between a 1450 and 1500 as an average 50% for SAT, and for ACT, around a 33 to a 34. And we'll talk a little bit more about test optional in a second. In terms of your transcript and what we're looking at in terms of grades, it's not true that we're looking at for the perfect transcript with only all A pluses on it. That doesn't exist very often. More so what we're looking for is someone who has challenged themselves and, yes, has received mostly A's or moving towards mostly A's. But that doesn't mean that an A, an A minus, or a B plus does not still make you a really strong applicant for Bates. So I think to answer your question about kind of bolstering your application, I think really just knowing that when we are admitting students, particularly for Bates, which is, as I mentioned, a residential college really focused on community and on that on-campus experience, we aren't just looking at these transcripts. We aren't just looking at the grades. And we're not just looking at the testing if you choose to submit it. We're really taking into account what you're bringing to the table, what types of activities and involvements you have been involved in, what you have strived to do in your community, and what you're telling us in your essay as well. So knowing that you're not going to have to really compensate for one part or the other, but it's really just going to build a wonderfully whole picture for us.
Well, it goes back to the holistic review that you explained. And I was curious, what are some of the things that the students do to demonstrate their interest in Bates? And Audrey, is that something that comes into play in terms of your overall application review process?
Yeah, It does. And I really appreciate you bringing up this question of demonstrated interest. And in fact, it is one of the strategies that colleges use to help inform who is going to attend their college if admitted. So earlier on, we were talking about that kind of process and how do colleges know that the students that they admit are actually going to come to campus. And so that demonstrated interest is one of the ways that colleges might be able to tell that you might be interested in attending that school. So demonstrated interest is therefore an opportunity for you to put your best foot forward and really do your due diligence with getting to know a college and getting to know more about the school. So certainly you could visit Bates. We have a variety of different on-campus events and tours and information sessions almost every day throughout the year. But there are a number of different virtual opportunities. We have online information sessions. We have special events throughout the year that are online. But you can also demonstrate your interest simply by reaching out to your admission representative or the admission professional at Bates who's assigned to your area of the U.S. I really want to say that, you know, demonstrated interest isn't a points game. It's not something where you can accumulate enough demonstrated interest points to equal the perfect number of connections with the school. It is much more about us, Bates, being able to understand that you have chosen to apply to this school after you have learned about the school. And therefore, you see something in us that is a good fit for you and resonates with you. So that's how we're viewing demonstrated interest. And importantly, you know, every year we will admit students who have never shown any demonstrated interest to us whatsoever. we are like, how did this awesome student find Bates College? And we say, we don't care that there's no demonstrated interest. We want this student on our campus. So just knowing that it's part of the holistic review, to use the term again, it's one aspect of the puzzle. But I appreciate you asking that question.
Well, I'm glad I asked the question as well. And I also appreciate how you talked about the fact that it is not a points game when it comes to demonstrating your interest. However, it is a strategy. It can help you at Bates. It is important to demonstrate your interest because while you're showing interest to the admissions representative, you're also researching and really digging deep in terms of whether or not Bates College, for example, in this case, is the right fit for you. So it is important to demonstrate your interest, whether a school says that they track it or not. It's something that you never know if it's going to come up later on in the application process. Perhaps if you're on a wait list, you demonstrated your interest. You never know, right? It can't hurt you. It could only help you. And again, perhaps more importantly, as part of your research on schools, you should be opening the emails, engaging with links, visiting, whether it's virtual or on campus. And if you have a question that's not easily found on your website, reach out to people like Audrey. That's why they're there. They are happy to help you so that you can make the best informed decision for yourself on whether or not, again, in this case, you want to apply and attend Bates College. So I really appreciate that. And Audrey, I know that test optional, that term came up a couple of times in the conversation already. And of course, like you mentioned, we know that Bates College is in fact test optional, but can you share the percentage of students that actually applied and who were ultimately admitted that did not submit their test scores?
Yeah, about 50% of students who applied submitted their test scores, and about 50% of students who were admitted had submitted their test scores. So it very much is an opportunity for you to decide if the SAT or ACT is the best way to show what you can do academically. For some people, SAT or ACT is a great way to show what you can do. And for others, it will never be how you show what you can do academically. Bates has been test optional since 1984. So we know the research that shows that how you do on these tests, on the SAT or ACT, does not predict how you will perform at a college. It is simply just another way for us to understand how your brain might work.
Well, that's terrific insight. And I didn't know that you were test optional since 1984, which is terrific. And of course, a lot of schools have gone test optional, particularly because of COVID. They were forced. But what we're hearing is exactly that. They're looking at the data to see with their test optional policies, whether or not it's going to affect graduation rates and things like that. And of course, if it's not going to affect it negatively, I would imagine that the test optional nature is going to continue. And Bates is a perfect example. As you said, you've been test optional since 1984. So the advice to students is take the SAT, take the ACT, prepare for it, do your best. And if you have a score that's a great indication of who you are academically, submit it. But if you fall lower, you don't have to at schools like Bates, because like you said, 50% of your students apply test optional. And the same is true for the students that are actually admitted. So we really appreciate that. And I was curious, Audrey, when reviewing applications from various high schools throughout the country, how do you take into account when one student school may offer 20, for example, advanced placement courses, while someone else's high school may only offer 5?
Yeah, great question. And this is part of what I love most about my job is getting to know all of the different types of high schools out there, all of the different curriculums. So I would say I first try to understand the curriculum as a whole. So sometimes there are other courses that are similar to APs or are college level or are the most rigorous, but the school has chosen to no longer offer APs. Sometimes a lack of APs is a symptom of a lack of teachers to teach that rigorous class or another lack of resources. But regardless of what it is, I first need to kind of understand the background, the academic background of that school. Regardless, I am always trying to see how a student has achieved within the courses that are offered to them. I won't hope for or wish that a student has taken APs, more APs, if those APs aren't offered to them. We're committed to admitting students from a wide range of backgrounds, from a wide range of high schools. And so with that, we know that everyone's transcript is not going to look the same. So it is very much about what you have done and the challenges that you have taken advantage of that are offered to you.
Well, we appreciate that. And I like the way you put it. You look at how has the student achieved based on the courses offered at their high school. And I would imagine that reviewing applications from so many high schools, it's got to be a lot of fun to look at the different school profiles to see all of the differences throughout the entire country. So going back to the students, can you explain what opportunities Bates offers students that may have had an IEP while in high school in terms of helping to ensure that they continue to be successful once they're on your campus?
Yeah, great question. I really appreciate you asking. So Bates has what is called the Center for Accessible Education. And this center, like most of the offices on campus, are incredibly student-centered, very individual-focused. So they want to talk to you before you've even arrived on campus, before you've even set foot on campus, to start to have conversations about what kind of accommodations were helpful for you when you were in school, in high school, and what you might want to continue with on campus. This could look like having a note taker, having extended time on tests. It could look like taking tests in a different area of campus. There are many different accommodations that may have worked for you before, and we very much want to continue to support you in doing your best work. Bates also has a Center for Inclusive Teaching and Learning, which is actually all about helping our faculty and staff learn how to create inclusive learning environments for students. And so I just share that to know that Bates is continually thinking about ways that we can teach better and that we can teach and studying pedagogy and how we can teach better to all students coming from all different backgrounds with all sorts of different learning styles.
Well, that's a great overview. We appreciate it. And by the way, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admissions, obviously in this case, it's Bates College, in the show notes. Audrey, if you would like to provide any other links, such as for the Center for Accessible Education, please send it to me. And of course, I'll make it available to the students and their parents in the show notes. So this has been a phenomenal conversation. We've learned so much about Bates, what you have to offer in your classrooms and beyond. But I have to ask you before I ask the last question, Audrey, is there a question I didn't ask today that you wish I had, or any other topic that I didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
Yes, there is something that I want to talk a little bit about, and that's about highly selective admission, right? So Bates is one of those schools with a very low acceptance rate. And sometimes people refer to this as the elephant in the room, is that Bates is a highly selective institution. And so I just want to mention that, because I know that that can be a stressor for many students who are looking at these percentages. And so what highly selective admission, one of the reasons is that we are a very small school. We only have 500 students per class year at Bates, and we are committed to staying exactly that size. So as more people learn about Bates and apply to that Bates, there ends up being more interested students than there is literally space for on the college campus. And certainly there are more students that are would be great Bates students that we can't welcome to campus because of size. And so I just want to mention that and kind of describe what goes on behind the scenes, behind closed doors, and just explain how human it is. It is a human process. When we read applications, we are not looking for reasons to deny a student. We're looking for reasons to admit a student. There is so many pieces of information and situations that are going into these decisions, but none of them are about whether you are a quote unquote good student or good enough to deserve an education at a place like Bates. We know that you are, and we know that you are would be an excellent student at a number of different places. So I like to put that in there when you're thinking about applying to Bates and applying to selective institutions, knowing that there is no one perfect applicant, and that when we are looking at applicants, we are celebrating you, and we know that you are destined for great things, whether or not it's at Bates.
Well, we appreciate that. And I was just curious as a follow-up, you know, you mentioned that you're committed to a class of 500. Is that because of institutional needs, space needs? Could you elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you do bring up institutional needs. Institutional priorities and institutional goals are things that admissions offices have to take into account when they are putting together a class. We are simply committed to our size, to 500. We don't want a bigger education or a bigger school. We want to be able to stay this small school and maintain all the kind of community values and community opportunities we have for the students right on our campus.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing. And again, this has been a great conversation. Unfortunately, Audrey, it does lead us to our last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Yeah. Okay, just three. So my three pieces are, one, use this process as a reflective opportunity. So use this as a time to really look back on your 3 years or your 3.5 years and thinking about what mattered to you during those 3 years, what you learned, what you still want to learn, what were your successes and what were your challenges, and making sure that these aspects of your experience are represented in some way on your common application. Going through the process as a reflective one really benefits you as you are thinking about what next step might be appropriate for you and what you want at that next point. And the best applications I read are the ones where I can tell someone has sat down and really taken time to sum up what was important to them over the past 3.5 years. My next piece of advice is a quick one. Start a notes app of college essay topics. Have a note on your phone just ready for the inevitable moment where your parent says, you got to write your essay about this, or your counselor says, you know what would be a good essay topic, or something pops into your mind as you're walking through the hallway. You're going to have to start a number of different college essays before you find an easy way to talk about yourself, an easy way to describe yourself and what matters to you to an admission committee. So just do yourself the favor and just write down all of the ideas as they're popping into your head to go back to later. And then my final piece of advice is my recommendation, which is to, at the very end, right before you're ready to hit submit, is to read your entire application from beginning to end out loud. I know this sounds silly, but reading out loud is a great way for you to catch any mistakes or to catch any awkward language or awkward wording. And it's also a great way for you to read your application the way that we are reading your application from beginning to end as if it is a story. And perhaps this also illuminates areas that may have been left out, things that you wanted to include or that were important to you that haven't made it onto the application. Or it might show some areas that maybe you were a little redundant and repeated things that you were involved in over and over again at the expense of giving us something new to learn about. So my advice is to look at the application as a piece of work, as something that's coming together in submission to a college. It's more than just a survey. It's more than something that you're just plugging your information into and sending on to a college. It's an opportunity for you to be reflective and to put together this piece of work that you are then submitting to a college for consideration.
Well, those are tremendous pieces of advice. And two of them that you mentioned, number one, using the Notes app on your phone so that in conversation, if someone says, that's a great essay topic, what a great idea to have a note on your cell phone where you could keep that running list, right? And then reading the entire application out loud when you think it's completed, again, to check for redundancies, to check to see if there's something that you didn't add that you want to add later. You know, a good application is one where you read it, you sit on it, you go back, read it again and again and again so that you make sure that you create that holistic picture of who you are as a student, not only inside of the classroom, but beyond. Audrey, once again, this has been a phenomenal conversation. I really appreciate your time, your expertise, and of course, I'm so happy as I know that this conversation is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate the college admissions process. Thank you so much for everything.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I always love to talk about these things, and I'm eager to help any students who have follow-up questions after this.
Well, that's terrific. We thank you again. And to everyone out there, good luck as you search your colleges. Take care, everyone. Best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Hey, podcast friends, are you or someone you know in need of some custom college gear? Prep Sportswear carries a wide variety of college fan gear and apparel, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats, and so much more. So whether you're getting ready to go to the game, hanging out on campus, organizing a college bed decorating party, or you're simply looking to build upon your college gear, Prep Sportswear has you covered. Check out our Prep Sportswear affiliate partnership link in the show notes for all the details. Please note that if you make a purchase through any of our affiliate links, the podcast gets a commission, but rest assured that we would only promote products that we believe in and feel would benefit our listeners. Thank you all, and best wishes.